Yes, Adam. We're going to proceed with the different opinions as to what constitutes the specific form of postum discourse. So Rabbi Yehuda's view was rejected because the problem was that you're going to be in violation of muzzling the witnesses. Elo amar ula, butzer ula, hachi amrinan. This is what we say. Yesh lecha edim lahazimam. Do you have edim to be mazim them? Now, to be mazim them is as opposed, as we'll soon see, to be as opposed to be machesh, to contradict. Everybody, I'm sure, is familiar with the difference between hazama and hakhasha. So just to briefly review, if two witnesses testify in court, then their testimony is accepted. So then you have two other witnesses that come in, with a testimony that contradicts, refutes, contradicts, disagrees with their testimony on any facet of it, and they are legitimate edim. You know, every pair of edim that's going to come in are going to be cross-examined, obviously. So now you have two pairs of witnesses that contradict each other. So what's the halacha? The halacha is that Bezdin really can't decide. We don't know who's telling the truth. So as far as we're concerned, as far as the Bezdin is concerned, we can't favor one over the other. And that's it. The whole case, there's no case. Because you don't have evidence over here. That's the case of Hakhasha. However, there's another form of testimony which refutes the testimony of the prior witnesses, which, this is Xeris HaKasav. It's Xeris HaKasav that, in this case, the Bezdin is instructed to believe the ones who are doing the contradiction, provided that it's in the framework of Hazama, what's called Hazama. They render the first pair into Zomerman, into conspirators. What is the essential differentiation between Hakasha and Hazama? Here is that in Hazama, the Edim, this is the chief hallmark. And this is a significant issue. The Rambam really emphasizes this. The Edim have nothing to say about the facts of the case itself. Essentially, they're saying, we don't know if the event that you described took place. We don't know if it didn't take place. We're not here to testify about that. All we're saying is that you could not have been present at the time and place that you maintain you witnessed an event. Because you were with us, Imanu Hayisem. You were with us. It's got to be through Imanu Hayisem. Because all Edim have to testify as to the time and the place that they witnessed an event. That's what makes them into Edom. So if they're attacked, if the second pair attacks them on that basis, we're not saying anything at all about your testimony. We're merely saying that you could not have been Edom, as you so say, because you were with us in a different place at that time, from which, or it doesn't even have to be at that exact time. It could be an hour later. They testify that at 2 o'clock they were in California, in a certain place, and they witnessed an event. And the other two come and say, at 1 o'clock, you were with us in Manhattan. It doesn't have to be exactly 2 o'clock. As long as their testimony renders it impossible, according to everything that's known to us, the air travel, we would take air travel into consideration. If they put themselves, you see, 3 hours, if they put themselves three hours, then there's a time differential, whatever, we could assume perhaps that they got on the plane. If Bezdin could figure out that they got on the plane and they did arrive at that time, so then it's not. It would not be considered Hazama. But, to all intents and purposes, if the Mazimim, today it would change. If you had the Hazama, the factors would change, because Bezdin would have to take into consideration air travel and jet travel, and even, you know, there's aside from commercial, there's even faster jets in terms of military, whatever it is. So, if that's taken into consideration, however, and it's still impossible by the existing standards for them to have been there, so then they're rendered into Edim Zomerman. Now, in that case, we do not say that it's two pairs of witnesses that contradict each other, because the truth of the matter is that the first pair denies. I mean, you could ask the same question, why do we believe pair two over pair one? Pair one insists that they were in California at 1 o'clock and they did witness it. All right? The answer is that this is a Xeris HaKasav. that in the other, the essential difference between the two is that where the contradiction occurs in the body of the testimony, in the Eidus, so there, it's a question of what the facts are. They have one story, they have another story, we don't know which story is true. But there, the Eidim themselves are not being attacked. The second pair is not attacking the person of the witnesses and negating their very eligibility or legitimacy as witnesses. In the second case, when two pair of witnesses come and testify against the persons that they are not Eidim, there the Torah said that we believe the second pair. We believe the second pair. That's Exeris HaKasim, the decree of the Torah. You can speculate all you want. You can say because Eidim really can't testify about themselves and so on. Fine. But basically, it's Exeris HaKasim. And that's the way, that in that situation, we believe the second pair, and the first pair lose their entire status of being witnesses, and therefore they are rendered into Zolomin, which means conspirators. That, we decide, is a conspiracy. If it's a conspiracy, then they're now subject to a very strict standard of justice, accountability, and everybody's familiar with the punishment. V'yasisim lo, kashazom lasos liyachim. They have to do unto him that which he sought to bring about. Alright, so again, it's the whole discussion in the Gemara Makos. But basically, whatever the result would have been, if they conspired, if they would have been successful in bringing about the verdict that they sought, it would have been a monetary fine. So they have to pay that monetary fine. If it would have been Malkus, then they get the Malkus. If it would have been the death penalty, then they get the death penalty. So that's why Sizim Lokasham Lasos. So now, what Ula is saying is that we begin the Poschim Luschus phase by saying to whom?
Nido.
To the Nido, to the defendant, Yesh Lecha Eidim Lazima. That's Poschim Luschus. Do you have witnesses to be mazim them, to render them into conspirators? Okay, Yehuda. That the objective of Schus is through the mechanism of the Eidus. Because that was Rabbi Yehuda's goal, to remove the Eidus. The only thing is that Ula objected to what he was doing, how he was going about it. Because he was muzzling. Besdin can't be directly involved in muzzling. But then Ula says, okay, so we now speak to the defendant. And he certainly has a right to mount a defense. So we help him. We give him advice. And we tell him, Yesh lo Eidim Lazima. Do you have Eidim to be mazim them? Now, if that is the case, if he does, so then he'll be saved. He'll bring in those witnesses. And those witnesses will get rid of the testimony and he'll be saved. Okay, Rabbah said to him, "V'chi poschim b'schuso shel zeh, shehi chavoso shel zeh." That is to say, again, nothing wrong. He's not directly attacking the idea of poschim b'schus. He's saying you have a secondary type of a problem, because you're going to start with a schus for this person, but it's going to be a chov for another individual. Who's the other individual? The Eidim. Yeah, the Eidim. One second. Umavaso. But then the Gemara says, well, would it really be a chav? Vatanan, ein eidim zom in erogin, atshirik mahadin. What does that mean? That is to say that there's a certain window at which this law can be affected. The first pair of Eidus come, they testify, their Eidus can be accepted. Their Eidus is now accepted, they testified against somebody falsely, conspiratorially. Then another pair of Eidus come, right after that, and they make them into Zomim, the Imanu Ha'isam. At that point in time, it's not considered V'asisim Lo Kashazom Lasos. It's not considered V'asisim Lo Kashazom Lasos until there's a Gemar Din. So the only point at which you can have the penalty is between the time of the Gemar Din And when? And when? When does it end? When does that window close? And the actual execution. Because, strangely enough, if the Zalman, what if they went ahead and they executed him on the basis of this testimony, then the Edom Zalman came? Then what happens? You don't do it because everybody learned when they went to yeshiva that kasher zamam velo kasher osa. That's again, it's a geres akasa. Because ordinary human logic would seem to say otherwise. Right? A person would say, what do you mean? If at that point, for merely the conspiracy, for merely conspiring to bring about the person's death, they receive the death penalty, how much more so if they actually went ahead and killed them? That's what the Tzedukim said. But the Gzeres HaKasev is, no, to the contrary. It's only when it's a conspiracy. As long as the conspiracy is in effect, they're conspirators. Well, after that, it's a murder. After that, they brought about the person's demise, it's treated in a different way. So now Ula is defending himself. Ula's answer seems to be very good. That is to say that this seems to be like a very good solution in terms of postal mitzvus. Yesh la edim lazimam. Your objection that it's chavasa shel zeh is not sustained. Because at this point in time, they haven't concluded, they haven't done the masa matan. We've just learned this is at the beginning of the masa matan. So the nidon at this point doesn't have a gemar div. This is going to be a masa matan. Go out and get your Edom Zalman. They come in and they will, if there are, you know, Zalman, they will defend, they'll save the Nidon, and they themselves will be immune at this point because it's pre the Gemara Din. That's his rejoinder. Okay? Interesting machlokas. He's holding his ground at this point. Because we learned that they're not killed until Shi Gemara Din. Yeah, see, Rava says, "Hachi Amina." This is what I meant to say. Ilu shasik hai. If this person would be quiet, that's who? That's the Nidam. Would remain silent. Ah, the Migmar Dine, until the din is concluded. Umaisi Edim, and then you bring Edim. Umazim lahu, and then they'd be mazim. Havi le chavasa shelzeh. It would be chavasa shelzeh. Interesting. What if he's a sneaky, sly cat, right? That's what we're saying. Okay. Rava says, no, my objection is sustained. Because it is true. What you're saying is true. That is, that if it plays out that way, if we tell him, do you have Adam to be mazin them? And he would. Assuming he does, because if he doesn't, so there's no problem. But we have to assume that he does, because you have to consider all the possibilities. So if you assume, if he would bring the Edim at that point, the way we've set it up, so then there'd be no problem. Everybody would be saved. The Nidon would be saved, and the Edim would not be liable to the punishment because there's no Gemar Din. So that's so what's the problem? So the rabbi says, no, you're still in violation. Because let's say that the Nidon is tricky and he really wants to get his revenge. So if he knows this halacha, he could wait. He could wait for the Gemar Din. He has Edom, he knows of Edom that can be mazen them. Then he could wait for the Gemar Din. And after the Gemar Din is pronounced, then he'll summon these Edom, then they'll make their dramatic appearance, and then he'll have his revenge. Not only will he be exonerated, but those who tried to bring him down will be executed. So it'll all go back to us. It's our responsibility. So you can't do it. That is the debate. But anybody from common sense, I can understand Ula's position. That is to say that, first of all, Beis Din is doing it now. This is part of the Masa Umatan. Okay. From a practical standpoint, as to what effect it's going to have, what will this Nidon do with this information? If he follows the basic intent of what we're doing, the basic intent of what we're doing is that he should just get witnesses and save himself through the witnesses and get rid of, you know, and get him now. Why wait to come right then? That makes sense. If you can look at it practically speaking, I would say most people in that position, if you know, if I was advising the Nidon, if I was a friend of the Nidon, and this came up, and he said, yes, I have Edom that could be Mazendam. And then he was discussing, should I bring them now, or should I wait until the Gemara din? Now forget about the issue of the moral issue. Of course, the moral issue would be, well, why do you want to be responsible for their death? Why don't you just take care of saving yourself? Put that aside. I'm not saying that, but purely from a practical standpoint, I think it would be irresponsible to tell them to wait because you never know what could happen. Right? That's what you have in mind. Who knows? What if they get into an accident? What if you have... Because after the Gemara Din, Bezdin doesn't waste much time, as we've learned. There are no delays. They immediately go to execution. So that phase is rather quick. So who knows what could happen? You're going to wait until then? Maybe they'll get stuck in traffic. Maybe there'll be an accident. Maybe they'll die. Who knows what could happen? This is your life. Matters of life and death. Get it right now. That's what makes sense. You don't put it off. So that's from the practical standpoint, I think we can understand Ula. I'm not saying that that's the real theoretical issue over here. These are the practicalities. You would tell the guy to wait. The reason why the Gemara says Shusik is because if he tells them that he has Edom, Lazimam Bezdin will summon the Edom. Not going to wait for him to summon them. So well, he really has Edom, but he'll be quiet. And then after the Gemara Din, then he'll say, I have Edom, and Bezdin will summon those Edom. I would go further. In terms of the first answer, the attempt to save him through retraction, through bringing about a retraction of the Edus, that presupposed that it would be Tok Kedei Dibur of the Kabbalah Edus, of the Drisha Chakirin, and so on. Because after that, they can't retract. But the second answer, does the second answer also presuppose any type of... No, it does not presuppose Tok Kedei Dibur, because what we meant was that the Edom themselves can't retract their testimony once it's been accepted, unless you're talking about Tok Kedei Dibur, which is a couple of seconds. However, their testimony can be removed through other channels, through other means, as we're seeing, one of them being Hazama. That wouldn't make a difference when, even after the Gemara Din. If you have Edom's own, they come in at that point. So then the original testimony is disqualified, and everything which was based upon that testimony is removed, is disqualified.
If you have two Edom that come...
The basic issue as to at what point are the Edom liable to the penalty is an issue. And is it essentially for the testimony? At that point where the testimony is accepted. If the testimony weren't accepted, by the way, before Kabbalah's Edus, they also wouldn't be. For sure they wouldn't be. I mean, obviously. But... what defines them as Edom Zomen? Is it the testimony? They succeeded in testimony? Well, the answer is no. The answer is that they're defined in terms of the actual conspiracy per se. And the conspiracy is not defined as a success until that person is subject to the death penalty. Right. So a failed conspiracy, you see, if you go by the intention, by the objective was to bring this other person down via the utilization of the legal system and marked by the giving of Edus, the Kabbalah's Edus, that is to say that they put in false testimony which would have brought the other person down. If you say that that's the Mechayev, so then it wouldn't depend upon Gemar Din. But there's another factor. It could be that that's true, that they conspired, and that was their intention, and they testified, but they bungled it because whatever they conspired about wasn't sufficient to bring about the death penalty. So it's an unsuccessful conspiracy. So the death penalty is measured in terms of the success, the accuracy of the conspiracy. Otherwise, it's not a conspiracy. They tried. In terms of their intention, they were conspirators, but in terms of the objective reality, there was no conspiracy because they didn't know enough to... the charges they brought against them didn't lead to a death penalty. So the conspiracy is defined by the result that it brings about. That's Gemara Din. Well, you guys can see that when Ula agrees to this, that the whole objective of saving... V'yitzilu, v'shaftu, v'yitzilu, that they have to try and save, and so on. And that Bezdin cannot be in the role of a prosecutor. Bezdin can't be a prosecutor. So they can't be bringing about somebody's demise. It's not just with regard to the Nidon who's in front of them, but to anyone. That's why That was the objection to Ula's point, that it's very nice, you have a nice strategy which is going to save this person, but it's going to bring about the demise. And therefore, Beis Din is violating its role. Because Beis Din can't be in the role of a machayev, of a prosecutor. So Ula doesn't reject that idea, because he says, Umihadi Chavas Shalzah. Said, well, when a person says that, it means I acknowledge that point. But then the actuality is that it's not going to hurt the other person because he can't get hurt until Gemar Din. Thus we see what the issue is. That is to say that apparently, according to Ula, the activity of Beis Din, in terms of whether it violates this rule of being a, what is it, being a sinegor, so to speak, of being an accuser, or a prosecutor, is measured purely within the context of the action itself. And what's the context? The context is masu matan, tchilas masu matan. So tchilas masu matan, this is what they do, this is the maneuver. And the maneuver is one which in the context of masu matan cannot hurt anybody. That is the, if you're going to look at the objective nature of the deed itself, it is in the deed itself there's no aspect of being a sinegor of prosecution. Thus, Ula maintains that that's as far as you have to go. That Beis Din cannot do an action which by its very nature clearly is an action which contains within it prosecution. Was it Sinegria? Sinegria, however, maintains that it's not in terms of the formalized action, but it's measured in terms of the consequences. That Beis Din can't set up a chain of events which could lead to the demise of somebody else. So that's what he's saying. If you think it through, of course Ula knew this. Ula knew that he might be quiet, he might be silent, and wait until Gemar Din, then say he has Adam to be mazim them, and thereby bringing about their demise. Ula knew that. But Ula was concerned with the formalized activity of the Beis Din. In terms of the formalized activity, it's not an action of a sinegor. But Rava holds that that's not the way it's measured. Beis Din is guilty because it's setting up something here. So even if it's not a formalized phenomenon, but if it's setting something up, and which has the potential because of a chain of causes which could take place, so then it'll be Beis Din that set it off. So the setting off of the chain of causes is what renders Beis Din into a mechayev, so to speak, into a sinegor. But that's the machlokas, whether it's a formalized activity of sinegrius or whether it's the setting off of a chain of activities which leads to the demise, which Beis Din is prohibited from doing. Okay, clearer to understand that if the halacha was that Edom Zomim can be executed before the Gemar Din, after the Kabbalah's Eidus, which would be the point we're at right now. If that were the case, then everybody could see that the idea of instructing him Yesh Edom Lazimam would, in and of itself, would be Chavasa Shalzah. We're now saving your life at the expense of somebody else. We're saying, bring them in. Do you have anybody that can bring them in and execute them? Then, it would, in terms of the context, it would be an act of prosecution against the witnesses. And Ula apparently would agree to that. But that's his answer. His answer is they can't be heard at this point. So our action, our advice itself has to be measured in terms of when it's being given. Obviously. This, you follow what I'm saying? I mean, it's like if a doctor gives advice or whatever, I mean, he's being brought up on charges. If it's advice which could be harmful, if it's negligent and so on and so forth. So clearly it's going to be mentioned in that context. He told them after the operation, for the day of the operation to take such and such medicines. Now, of course, it's true that this person can decide he won't take it today, he'll take it tomorrow, and therefore he'll die. I mean, you can't accuse a doctor of advising him to commit suicide. But then we'd have to set it up. I mean, obviously that's a different situation. You have to set it up, but what's the responsibility of the doctor? And if you say that anything that he says which could lead to a certain result sets off a chain of causes which leads to the demise, that too constitutes negligence. All right, that depends on how you define it. But you see clearly there's a difference the activity has to be measured in terms of its context. That's what the Ula is saying. In the context, it's not prosecutorial. The fact that it can lead to something, that's something else. But apparently, Rava is measuring it not just in terms of that specific context, but there's a whole entity of the trial. It's interconnected, and then you have to also consider the Gemara Din. He's going further. In terms of the whole entity of the trial, all the aspects of the trial, it does have the possibility of Chavasa Shalzeh. That's his position. Okay, so Rava basically likes the idea of Ula. What is it about Ula's idea that he likes? The methodology of Poschim L'Schus in terms of deflecting the force of the Eidus that he likes. But he had a problem with Lazimon, because then you're bringing Bezdin into the role of prosecution. So we have a way of avoiding it. Yesh tcha edim lakishan. Do you have edim to contradict them? Now, that's a perfect solution. Because if they have edim to be makish them, to contradict them, so then you're saved. You'll be saved. And these witnesses are going to be unharmed. Because that's why I told you before. Edim ha-makish ze'azeh. All you have is two pairs of witnesses that contradict each other. So Bezdin doesn't know who's telling the truth. There's no consequences. Case is thrown out. Everybody goes home free. Nobody gets hurt. So basically what we're going to instruct him now is, you have Edim that can contradict the story. That'll say that you didn't commit that action. That's the position of Rava. Now, pose this question for a minute. Rava had a big problem with Ula's position, because it might lead to a chov for the other witnesses. And he, considered all the possibilities and how it might do that. Now, isn't it possible by saying Yesh Le'edim L'Kishon? So then, all right, you're putting a thought in his head to find witnesses who can contradict. Yeah, but contradicting can also be through Azama. Isn't it possible that he'll start thinking for looking out for witnesses? And in terms of Akasha, he doesn't really care. I mean, whether they test, he's not going to say, I only want witnesses who are going to contradict them in terms of testimony, but who are not going to contradict them in terms of Imanu Ha'isim. No. He's going to look for any kind of witness that's going to contradict them. So isn't it possible that Rava's advice could bring about the same result?
Yeah, but he didn't suggest.
So another question is, if this answer is so airtight, and it seems that it is, so that is to say, you don't have the problems altogether, so why did Ula go for his answer? That is to say, why didn't Ula say, Yesh Le'edim L'Kishon? He maintained Lazima. And there it's a little bit controversial, because the question is that Chavasa Shalzeh or not? Depending on how you want to measure it. But then, is there any reason? Why didn't you say Lakishan and solve the whole problem? You follow? Why take a position which has this problem that's controversial? All right, so you maintain that it's not such a problem. But you have a simple solution, just do Lakishan. You follow? The answer is that it's certainly possible that the defendant, listening to this, learning that if other witnesses come forward with positive testimony for him, that would save his life. Maybe he'll put out the word to all of his friends and whatever it is, to if there's any witnesses that can refute these witnesses, whether it's by HaKosha, whether it's by Azama. And it could be that as a result of this instruction, witnesses will be found who will not just be Makish, but who will be Mazim, this person. And then it could be that it will come about after the Gemara Din, and it could be that those people will be killed. It could be, as a result of all of this, that it will be Chavasa Shalzeh. It could be, but that far, that indirect, Rava doesn't consider it to be a problem. Because in terms of the instruction itself, all the consequences of the instruction, it's Akasha. We're only talking about Akasha. If, as a result of Akasha, he goes to a different subject and that happens, that's too far removed. It's only considered to be setting off a chain of being the cause of their demise when it's a natural result of what we said. It's got, in other words, we're putting Azama on the table. We're putting Azama on the table. And if we put it on the table, the other person can be quiet and wait until later, and then he can be mazim them, so it's a result of what we told him. Now we're just going to put our crush on the table. So we're only responsible for the results of our crush. But if our crush puts a different idea, it's an association, and he associates something else, that's not our doing anymore. That's not our doing it, exactly. That's why Rabba is not going to be troubled by any type of a association. It could be, after the fact, when he tells it over, if he does get it into Mazda. He could say, oh, when they gave me, that's when it started. I started thinking about contradiction and how to contradict. And one thing led to another. And then I heard there's another way of Azama, and that's what saved me. That doesn't matter anymore. You see, because there's different kinds of results. There are direct results, and then there's just accidental results. I mean, that's an accidental result. That's not considered a direct result. And she could say that Ula's position, that Ula's not concerned about the results, that he will wait until Gemar Din, that's what you would say. Rabba also, at a different level, of course, is going to accept that idea when he says, just tell him, Yesh Chaydim Lachisha, and don't worry about any kind, any indirect or unintended consequences, don't revert back to Bezim. To me, that Ula says, Yesh Chaydim Lachimam, that, and even Rabba would agree that that's a better instruction. In terms of schus, that's a better schus. The only thing is, he has a problem with it because of the chov factor. Let's understand why. If you're innocent, you're innocent. So you're maintaining that nothing happened. That it didn't happen. If that's the case, so the best defense would be, it's clear then, according to what you're saying, that these witnesses weren't there. Nothing happened. So then witnesses ought to be somewhere else. So the best way is to find someone that knows where those witnesses were. Once I can pinpoint where those witnesses were, so then I'm saving myself through Azama. Whether I'm interested in getting them or not getting them is not the point. That's not the point. The point is that that's the most logical, rational way to proceed. If I am convinced, I know I didn't do it. I know the event never occurred. If the event never occurred, then I know that these people were conspiring. So if I know that they were conspiring, then I'm going to try and pin down where they were. Where they were at the time that they claimed that they were seeing me do an action which never happened. Now, it's very likely that other people are aware of what their whereabouts were. That's what the police, you know, or the alibi, where were you at the time of the crime? Find Adam to be makhish them, that is lessening the field. That's sort of like limiting the field. Because they are going to, that puts you, then something happened. Then you were there. I mean, what's going on over here? Why are they testifying? They just got it wrong? Then you were there. Somebody got hurt. Somebody got in with somebody else, and they're going to say, you did it. That's possible. You follow? It's possible, but that's a mistake. Then you're saying that there's a mistake was made over here. It's not a conspiracy. It's very unusual that a conspiracy would come about that way, that there was a fight, somebody did get killed, and so on and so forth. So, I'm not saying, there's akasha. True, you can have akasha. But if you are limiting it, once you go for akasha, so then something happened. And therefore, it's less. In other words, you're limiting my chances. If I'm totally innocent, then the way to go is to demonstrate the frame-up. You could have a kasha, maintain that you never did it, nothing happened. For example, if they say that we saw, if you get two other witnesses that say that we saw the person I purportedly killed, we saw him more, he's still alive. That's a kasha, but that's consistent with the fact that nothing happened. Okay, but that I would say is going to be less likely. It's going to be less likely to happen. In reality, it's going to be less likely. They're not going to, aid them who are conspirators, are not going to testify that you killed someone who's walking around the streets and anybody could find out that it's false. You see what I'm saying? That is to say that when they did this, the aid them did this, they, if there is a conspiracy, so they're not stupid, you assume that they covered the bases pretty carefully, they're not going to make a conspiracy which is so easily refutable by a kasha like that. Okay, okay. To me, that in terms of a poskim l'schus, I don't think that Rabbah would even argue with Ula. I think they both agree that in terms of a poskim l'schus, you tell the guy Hazama, because that's your main line of defense. That's your main line of defense. And even Rabbah would agree with that. The only thing is, he said that that's the problem. We can't do that because we're going to be responsible for hurting the other people. We can't prosecute. We can't be prosecutors. So then, Ula says that we can. But I think that if you didn't have this problem, then everybody would agree that you tell him Hazama, because that's better advice. The only thing is, if you can't do it for that reason, so then you do a chasha. That's also a possible chasha. Okay, chasha. Because if you're totally innocent, if you didn't do it, so then, or you weren't there, you can find witnesses who are with you, who will protect you, who will say that we were there and this didn't happen. However, I think, again, this is like maybe a little bit practical, a little speculation, if you don't mind, is that in reality, if you're subject to a conspiracy, you have to assume that the conspirators planned it out. Unless they're stupid and bumbling, I mean, but, you know, in general, they're not going to do things that are easily... If they singled you out because they want to bring you down, then they're going to do it in a way where you don't have alibis. It's going to be difficult for you to have alibis and so on and so forth. They checked that out. Therefore, the real area of vulnerability is the Yimanu Hayisam. The real area of vulnerability is because that's just not true. The truth is, there's one big lie over here. They weren't there at that time. There was no event like that. Okay, go ahead. No word on this. With poskim l'schus, it seems that at this point in time, all focus on the idea of going after the Eidus. It would seem the best way to go after the Eidus is to be mouthing the Eidim. You knock off the Eidus. As opposed to trying to contradict the Eidus itself. That would seem to me to be a more difficult task. Less easier of a defense. The other thing is, as I said, it all depends upon whether it's permissible for Bezin to assume the role of being a prosecutor.